This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Right to Andre, up and under, scoops and goes in. As he was falling down, he got fouled.
Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shafsky on 95.7 The Game.
Well, thanks, Tim. We're going to talk to him at 8:30. Evan Giddings, Sam Lubman in for Joe and Joe for the next 2 days. Looking forward to a lot of fun. Talking Golden State Warriors after a big win yesterday. They send number 9 up into the rafters on Andre Iguodala. We are brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. What was that from the Oklahoma? Was that Oklahoma City that play was against, Carter? Is that where that highlight came from?
Yeah, 2016.
Yeah, the play where he's running down. You remember this, Sam, where he's running down the lane? And he gets clipped by, I don't know if it was like Roberson or one of the Thunder wings. He gets clipped and goes down to like almost protect his landing and just flips it up blindly behind his head and Englishes it off the glass for an and one. It's one of the first plays that you've seen an Andre Iguodala highlight reel. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I don't remember that play specifically. I mean, there's so many great Iguodala moments. When we talk about, you know, an Iguodala moment that stands out to you. And I'd love to see if there's any, you know, other moments that stand out to Warrior fans. 888-957-9570 is the number. Definitely want to hear from Dub Nation today about the Andre Iguodala retirement ceremony, and as well as just where the Warriors stand overall. But for me, Evan, there's not one like specific moment that stands out for me. It's more just a collection of moments, and it comes down to what he did in games 5 and 6 of that 2015 series against the Cavs, where
where he stole Steph's MVP.
He ripped the MVP right out of Steph's cold living hands, said, "This is my MVP. You will never, ever get one because I'm better." It happened.
For a guy that seems to worship the ground that 30 walks on, he really did him dirty in the first NBA Finals they won.
It's not just the way that he guarded LeBron in that series. And I'll always remember Sports Illustrated had such a great cover during that series. It was, you know, they had him and LeBron on the cover, and the title was Andre versus the Giant. And I always love that one. But Iguodala is just draining threes those last two games. And I would just go nuts every time he hit one of those threes. And obviously, you think of three-pointers on this team. You think of Steph. You think of Clay. But he was just getting so many of these clutch three-pointers in that series. And, yeah, when he was named the MVP, it was just like, yeah, I totally agree with this. Because his coming off the bench in that series to start those final three games was... it was the move that flipped the series. And he was, you know, everyone's like, oh, how was he so great on LeBron? LeBron still averaged like 50 points a game in that series or whatever absurd numbers
that
LeBron.
Did.
Yeah, whatever absurd numbers that LeBron was putting up at that time. But if I the way I remember it, Evan, what Iguodala did, and I'm trying not to call him Iggy because you told me he doesn't like that name. so well, I'm trying this whole show now, but like, just don't call him Iggy.
I feel like Iggy was, you know, his nickname used for the majority of the time here. But then I just noticed, Like, no one called him Iggy yesterday.
Yeah, no one did.
It's only Andre or Dre. So just let's try and show him that respect.
I know. So I've tried to do that. I've tried, Andre, Iguodala. But yeah, I keep reverting to Iggy. But Iguodala, he almost forced LeBron to try and just do everything on his own, which, I mean, considering that Kyrie and Kevin Love weren't there, he kind of had to. But when he forced LeBron to basically do everything on his own, like, it was a 1-on-5 game. And at that point, it was game over. LeBron can put up whatever numbers he wanted. Those numbers aren't going to be doing anything just because of the way that Iguodala was kind of forcing LeBron to just do everything on his own. So you talk about great moments there. It's, yeah, I don't have one specific moment, but watching what Iguodala did in games 4, 5, and 6, especially 5 and 6, that's just, for me, what will always immortalize him as one of the great Warriors of all time.
Well, and even though Curry has clearly become one of the greatest crunch time performers of this generation, Iguodala was the one that received Max Kellerman's vote. And at the time, the setup was so ridiculous that it's going to live in infamy. But it wasn't necessarily inaccurate because the guy that had the most game-winning shots was Andre Iguodala. Mm-hmm. In 2013-14, he had the down 2 3-pointer at Atlanta, walk-off winner. I think he also had a fadeaway the same season against Oklahoma City from the baseline. So Andre Iguodala was in many ways the Warriors, or one of their go-to closers. And he was just someone that I think you could throw in any situation. I mean, there are plays that he made. In fact, actually, the best play that he didn't make was against, I think it was the Denver Nuggets, where like he drilled through 4 guys, went around his back between the legs and tried to dunk it on somebody and missed, and then he ended up getting fouled. But Oracle was ready to absolutely erupt. And Andre Iguodala also knew how to play to the crowd. I mean, the way that he would, his and-one finishes, he would kind of do like, like this old man walk, and he would scrunch his face and he would look to the crowd. He would also get his eyes real big and look at you like, all right, I'm about to make something happen.
He's very demonstrative with those expressions. Yeah.
He knew how to energize Steph. He knew how to extract out of a relatively emotionless Klay Thompson. All these guys were young and entering their primes, but he knew how to get the most out of them. Draymond didn't really have to poke the bear much. That one was someone that he didn't have to do much with. And you're right, 5-1-0.
Yeah, kind of bring the bear back a little bit, yeah.
Exactly, and you're right, 5-1-0. The death lineup. Iguodala was the first person that created, because of how versatile he was, the final piece to the death lineup. And I know that Kevin Durant is kind of, the bigger fifth, but they had a version of that before.
Yeah, with Harrison
Curry,
Barnes.
Klay, Barnes, Draymond, and Iggy.
Yeah. How cool is seeing HB on that tribute video yesterday?
I don't know. Do we have the sound from all the people that sent messages in, Carter? Because there was also someone else. I know I mentioned that Sean Livingston got a big round of applause, but during the retirement ceremony, the video itself, and mm-hmm. it's like a minute and a half, so you might have to stick with us. While we get that ready for you, let's listen to Curry talk about when he knew that Andre was going to become a part of this team, but also the message to the Warriors after that 2013 Nuggets series.
I remember game 6 in 2013, you were on the Denver Nuggets, and we were the young, scrappy Warriors who were trying to cement ourselves in the playoffs. We had the fortune of beating you that series, but the first thing after the horn went off, you ran across the court and you found me. And obviously we had a history, but that love and that message you gave me right there, I didn't know it was in the future, but I could feel something, and I could feel that you saw something. And fast forward, 4 months later, no, not even, and you were the first one to choose us. And that meant the world for a team that was trying to figure it out.
Prescient, Sam. He was prescient.
Yeah, no, it's a great word, actually. I can't say it's a word I hear a lot, actually. You might be the first person I've heard say it. But yeah, I'm looking over to kind of what he said in his pregame presser. And he did kind of talk about how he was drawn to the joy that Steph and Klay were, that the joy that Steph and Klay played with. But he also pointed out how they came from NBA families, so like they were kind of specially equipped to handle the daily, the daily grind of the NBA. They understood the attention that comes with it and the eyes that are on you. And he talked about how, yeah, that caught his attention. Like, these are guys that play with fun, but they get it. And then there's also Draymond Green, who brought that edge to kind of balance things out there. So, yeah, the Warriors had the ingredients, and he did see it cooking, and he did see it brewing there. And, yeah, it was – that's what we've said it so many times, that he legitimized them in a way that they truly needed it at the right time. And hearing those stories, and you mentioned a really funny story before we go out the lines, maybe a little bit, but you know, we're talking about the Kellerman I want Iguodala moment. A moment that made me laugh at his pregame presser yesterday was he was talking about, you know, the impact that this had on his kids. You know, he's got Andre Jr., 17, who I guess he said he got back from like 11 o'clock on Saturday night from their official visit to U of A.
Andre Jr. is a dude.
Yeah.
So he was at St. Mary's College, I think it was in December. They were playing, maybe it was Chattanooga, but I was doing radio for them that night, and I saw Andre Iguodala in the building. I was like, oh, that's nice. Thank you. Andre Iguodala's coming out to support the local team.
He's a big Gales fan, Andre Iguodala.
Yeah, not exactly. His kid's getting recruited by just about everybody. So, they got in late because Andre Jr.'s probably going to play college basketball.
It's quite the grind there. And he's talking about how, Andre Jr. was only kind of so into it at the time because he was, 7, 8, 9 years old when those first championships were won.
He's like 6'10 now.
Yeah, he's a big dude. And because he was part of the ceremony. He got things going there. But he's like, he said, Andre Jr. turned to him when he was, 12 years old. It's like, yeah, I'm bored of all this winning. I thought that was funny. But the part that I had to really stifle a laugh on was his 15-year-old daughter, I guess, at high school. When she's walking through the halls, people yell, I want Iguodala at her all the time, which I kind of had to laugh at. I don't know if I'm Andre, if I would be, super thrilled about that. But it's just the fact that 10 years later, kids who were 5 years old at the time are still doing the I want Iguodala. Just shows not just how, much that Kellerman moment has got around, but that's the impact that Andre Iguodala has. The fact that I want Iguodala could 10 years later still be that relevant, because as we saw yesterday, a lot of Dumb Nation still wants Iguodala.
Well, for those watching on YouTube and Twitch, they put it on the shirt, the giveaway shirt that I'm wearing right now at the bottom. I want Iguodala. It's got all of his accomplishments, all of his accolades, and then, of course, probably the most famous words said about him, which was, looking back on it, hilarious, because it's putting down his favorite player. Andre Iguodala's favorite player is Steph Curry, and Max Kellerman chose him over 30.
Yeah, I think you said before the show, as I'm wearing my In Steph We Trust shirt today. Yeah, you may now it's In Steph We Trust because Iguodala's not on the team anymore, but you said before the show, Evan, a perfect line, you may think you love Steph Curry the most. You do not love Steph Curry more than Andre Iguodala loves Steph Curry. I mean, he saved his final thank you for Steph, and it was just the love that Andre Iguodala has for Stephen Curry is unmatched by anyone. And hearing that, it was so cool hearing Iguodala talk about Steph. And because I think we all feel that way about Steph. Steph has inspired so much for us here as a fan base, brought so much greatness here to this organization for us as fans to watch. Evan, you can make the argument that you and I have jobs right now because of Stephen Curry. I mean, his impact is that large. And seeing someone who, this entire first hour has been about the importance that Andre Iguodala has had to the Warriors, but the importance that Steph had in bringing and attracting Iguodala and having and getting Iguodala, I don't know if getting Iguodala to buy in, but Steph's presence is what drove Iguodala to want to buy into this culture. And that buy-in was huge because, again, it set the tone of a brand of, I say selfless basketball, but you're right, there is still some self-interest there. But, there is selfless through self-interest, if that makes sense. By taking that step back, being able to appreciate that bigger picture in a way that not many people are able to, it's really cool just how one thing keeps leading to another and all these dominoes that fell to set up the greatness that was this Warriors dynasty.
100%. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. That's Sam Lubman. My name is Evan Giddings. We're filling in for the Joes here on the Morning Roast for the next 2 days. They'll be back on Wednesday. We're taking your favorite moments from Andre Iguodala, and a lot of them are coming in from our text line 510. I appreciate number 9 because when the game got hectic, he knew how to slow the Warriors down. Like, hey, let's go to Livingston in the post. Slow down, guys. That's when he would always put his hands down, like, slow it down. From the 408, February 27, 2016 against OKC. Warriors down 2. Andre gets fouled 1 second left. Hits the 2 free throws to send it to overtime. That was, of course, when Steph hit the walk-off buzzer beater in Oklahoma City. I mean, just a lot of great moments. We've seen them file in on YouTube and Twitch as well. The fact that Andre was a guy that, like, what stands out to me is, like, the mitts. Well, Kerr described Jimmy Butler's hands as claws. To me, Andre had the first claws, like the rip-through steal on just about every big-name jump shot you could imagine in the book. I mean, in 2016, Game 6, Clay's game, his final 3 is created in transition to put the Warriors up because Andre strips Russell Westbrook on the baseline and then pushes it up in transition and they go up. It's one of the best defense-to-offensive transition postseason moments that I can recall off the top of my head that Andre's been involved in. But he's been involved in so many. And I think I was glad that the guy got his just due because he deserves it. And Sam, if I can, I do want to play the full video that we promised the people. The opening presentation video in which everyone that was asked to, as many people as we could get and hear from, sent their words in to celebrate number 9.
State Warriors.
The vision for what they want to do with this franchise, and I think they were missing one piece, and hopefully, you know, I can be that piece to get the team to where we all want to be, which is try to win a championship.
The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
This year's Bill Russell MVP, Andre Iguodala.
So my apologies there. I guess we're trying to put together the video, but
it's still pretty cool to hear that, though.
Yeah, no, and that's what it opened with. But the people that sent words in included Chris Paul, as you mentioned, Harrison Barnes, Jordan Poole. I thought got the biggest ovation from the home crowd when he called him, you know, I'm JP, the little bro, the guy who probably was the biggest shocker to be involved in the thank you video was James Harden,
yeah,
which I thought was really interesting. Luke Walton, of course, his former teammate at U of A and then assistant coach with the Warriors. And it finished with his daughter, which was really sweet, who was also there in the building too. So it was great. It was good.
Yeah. No, it was, first off, there was the Chris Paul part of the video when he popped up and there were cheers all around Shea Center. And I was sitting next to our friend Nick Friedel at the time, and I turned to him and said, if I told you a year ago that Chris Paul will appear on a tribute video and get an ovation, you would think I'm crazy. But that's just how much things have changed here regarding Chris Paul.
But that wasn't because he played for the Warriors. I mean, Andre wasn't on that team. It's because they won a gold together.
Yeah. Well, no, it was just, I mean, the way the Warrior fans have just embraced Chris Paul since he did sign here. Like, a year ago, if Chris Paul never played here, I'm curious what that reaction would be, because he was such a villain to the Warriors for so long. But it's just, we all love him now. So that's just the reaction that Chris Paul got in that video, I thought was kind of funny, just in terms of just how far we've got moment. The other one that popped up that surprised me was Richard Jefferson, who I don't believe he actually played with Iguodala, or maybe he did in the past.
They were teammates.
Was it a limp?
At Arizona.
Okay, Arizona.
Yeah, so a lot of it was like collegiate stuff as well. Richard Jefferson is a Wildcat. Steve Kerr is a Wildcat. They all played under the legendary head coach, Lute Olson.
Okay, that makes more sense, because the only connection I knew between Iguodala and Jefferson was that Jefferson was part of that trade, along with Brandon Rush, who was on the station last week, and Andres Beidrins in that trade that brought Iguodala to the Warriors. One of the you think about great trades in Bay Area sports history, Evan, it's hard for me to find a trade that's better than that one, not only because of what you gave up, which was...
Trades are hard.
And they weren't hard at that time.
Not anymore, Joe.
You gave up really not that much. I mean, you did give up a couple of future draft picks, but draft picks are whatever sometimes in the NBA. But you gave up three players that were just going absolutely nowhere at the time and brought in a guy who just... was a great player already and just added so much more to the team that he was coming to. It's hard for me to think of a better trade in terms of just the greatness that it brought back on so many different levels compared to what was sent out to bring Iguodala in. I can't think of another trade in Bay Area sports history that just hits on every single mark as well as that one.
I got one off the top of my head. Happened 18 days ago.
Ooh, okay. I like that. I like that thinking.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler. I mean, Draymond's promising a championship, and right now he looks like a prophet. Six games in.
He might have been onto something. You know, it's always a fun game with Draymond, Jimmy Buckets.
Well, but to your point,
it's always
though,
fun game.
There you go.
Thank you, Draymond. To your point, I think that one, because the Warriors actually attached future picks to that trade to get off of Jefferson.
Correct.
And Beidrins.
Yeah, it was I got it up right here in front of me. So it was... Andres Beidrins, the greatest free throw shooter ever. Richard Jefferson, Brandon Rush. I say that facetiously. Beidrins was not a good free throw shooter. A 2014 first rounder that eventually became Rodney Hood. A 2017 first rounder that eventually became Josh Hart. And then a second rounder in 2016 and 2017. That's what the Warriors gave up in the three-team trade that brought Iguodala to Dub Nation.
They also traded Andre Iguodala.
They did, yes.
Remember that?
I do remember that trade. That was the trade that brought D'Angelo Russell to the Warriors, which D'Angelo Russell becomes Andrew Wiggins, who becomes Jimmy Butler. It's incredible. Iguodala just keeps producing one way or another.
Yes, he does.
Turned Iguodala into four championships and Jimmy Butler. That's a pretty good haul there for the Warriors front office.
Yeah, and for the 408, absolutely. Monte Ellis for Andrew Bogut. And it's interesting because... I think that this Jimmy Butler deal, it had me going back last night. So one of the reasons why I couldn't sleep, number one, I was really juiced off the game yesterday. I was excited because of the retirement ceremony. I think the entire event, following also All-Star Weekend, like Chase Center has not so quietly been in the spotlight each now of the last two weekends on national TV. That was an ABC game. It was nationally televised. They took down the Mavericks. They lifted number 9 into the rafters. And they pretty much sent a signal out to the rest of the league that this team is not to be trifled with. And I think the last two weekends have been a great showcase for what the Golden State Warriors 2025 season could become. And it was also interesting to hear Andre sort of speak about, like, they're not done yet. Like, he was talking about how he reflected on, you know, his time and his championships and his contributions. And then Steph got to the podium and was like, yeah, that just means we're old as hell. It means that we're trying to figure out how to maximize what's left of this.
He said, yeah, Steph, you know, once you left, I became the old guy in the locker room.
He's still the old guy in the locker room. But I think also looking at Andre at the podium, speaking about the Warriors in a place where Curry is eventually going to be. He's going to have 30, be up there right next to number 9. He's going to be enshrined in all these different leagues and, you know, wherever you want to put Steph, you can put him. But I do think that Steph watching Andre do that and then listening to Steph at the podium after the game following a pretty impressive, almost wire-to-wire win, it adds to me a little more urgency, Sam. And as we roll on here, if people want to call in and talk about their favorite moments that Andre Iguodala delivered, we're certainly here for it. But there's something about this team right now. It's got an energy, it's got a charisma, it's got a confidence that in a different way, because they're much older, they're more seasoned, but it does remind me a little bit of those Andre Iguodala Warriors teams. And I don't know if it's strength in numbers. I'm still trying to figure it out. So hopefully you can help me, Sam, and we can figure this thing out together. 888-957-9570 is the number. Sam Loveman, Evan Giddings in for Joe Spadoni and Joe Shashkin in the Morning Roast. A reminder that in the 8 o'clock hour, we will be giving away a Jimmy Butler number 10 jersey. All you got to do is just listen in, and we'll set you up with how to do that. Also, Tim Roy is going to join us at 8:30, the voice.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.